Let's turn again to the book of Genesis chapter 8 and consider further what you find in verse 1, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. Genesis 8 and at verse 1, and God remembered Noah. And God remembered Noah. We have been considering particularly what God did, that is, to be compared with the expression here, whenever the Lord's time comes to rescue a sinner out of Satan's kingdom, it is not that the Lord has forgotten, but it's that the Lord works or speaks of himself as working somewhat when a person remembers, let us say, someone else and goes to their help or fulfills a promise toward them or whatever it might be. So God came to this time in his providence that he was to act, act on behalf of Noah and everyone that was in the ark. And so the Lord acts on behalf of sinners, those whom in his kindness he has elected to be his children, chosen out of the mass of sinners that were to be born into this world. And there are those, and by the time the world is finished, there will be seen to be many, very many. There will be a multitude that no man can number. And the Lord, he remembers them one by one and brings them out of Satan's kingdom and into his own marvelous light to be his own people, to profit by the word and to be brought into his kingdom, to enjoy all spiritual blessings and to be brought at last to a better world. Now, such people, when they are brought to a sense of their need because of sin and their danger because of the lost eternity that is before them, may well come to this, that they will pray, remember me, O Lord, with that love that thou bearest unto thine own, and visit me with thy salvation. Remember me. And they may bring this into their thoughts and prayers as well, that God remembered Noah, and here am I in a state of sin and need. Here am I as one who cannot rescue myself. And yet I find this a suitable petition to use. Remember me, O Lord, even with the love that thou bearest to thine own people, those who have already obtained mercy, those whom thou hast already remembered. But remember me, that I might enjoy the blessings of thy salvation, that I may enjoy the blessings that those have who belong to thy chosen ones and have already been brought among the children, who have already been brought into thy kingdom. Remember me. Now, the people of God may well use that petition, or perhaps two petitions that follow one another in Psalm 106. Lord, remember me. Whatever their felt needs are, the continuing power of sin, the guilt that they feel, the difficulties that they experience in providence, whatever it is in relation to themselves, their weakness spiritual, their felt inability to make progress. Oh, remember me. Remember me with that love that the bearest unto thy know, whether they can recognize themselves as the children of God or not. You see, remember me, act towards me, supply my need, give me grace, work in my soul by thy Holy Spirit. Such petitions are implied. They can all come under the heading of what I have mentioned, what I have put. Remember me, O Lord, with that land that thou bearest unto thine own, the land that thou dost show unto thy children, so that thou dost visit them with thy salvation. Well, remember me with that salvation. Remember me and exercise thy saving power towards me. Do not be towards me as someone who has forgotten. But remember me. Act towards me in thy kindness. Deliver me from my needs. Deliver me from my difficulties. Give me grace. And so you could go on. And whether or not I have mentioned what might be most prominent in your own mind, well, do not be discouraged. Just say, remember me, O Lord, with a love that thou would bear unto thine own. Visit me with thy salvation, that I might see the good of thy chosen and rejoice in their joy. Yes, there will be rejoicing in heaven, and there may be rejoicing in this world too. Not unbroken, not perfect in degree by any means, and that's how it will be in heaven, and that's part of the salvation that is referred to there, to bring the soul at last to everlasting glory, to be saved on the judgment day. There's something else. There's something that might cause in a good degree of, a significant degree of fear. But visit me with thy salvation. May I feel the power of grace in my soul so that I would recognize that I am indeed on my way to everlasting glory. Now, there may be many a difficulty on the way of the children of God through this world, as there was many a difficulty very likely that Noah experienced in building the ark, and then perhaps various concerns while it was necessary for him to remain in the ark. When would they get out? Would the food supplies last? Perhaps he might say, what if this, what if that? But you see, the Lord remembered Noah. And whatever else Noah had from the Lord, he would have had implied promises. For if the Lord was to cause him to build an ark and to enter into the ark, then it was implicit at least that he would be brought out when the flood would be over. And you see, the children of God have explicit promises. And I'll quote this one in Isaiah 43. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Whatever water, whatever swirling waters might seem likely to sweep them away, whatever might happen, whatever further difficulties they might imagine, however unlikely it might seem to them that their difficulties would be brought to an end. But you see, whether they are brought to an end or not, this is the promise. I will be with them. And through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. And that, in substance, was Noah's experience. I am the Lord thy God. That's, in effect, what was being said to Noah. Yes. The Lord provided an ark where he would be saved. What is the ark that the children of God have? Oh, it's Christ. It's Christ. The waters will not overflow. Just as the waters did not overflow the ark. The ark didn't go down to the depths of the sea with all its precious cargo inside that would repopulate the earth. No, God doesn't give instructions to anyone without undertaking, at least implicitly, to provide all the means that are necessary to enable them to do whatever duty is laid upon them. He never leaves anyone at their own charges. Just as, and that's the comparison that is being made, just as the soldier doesn't expect to have to provide his own food in going out to war, the Lord is not leaving his children to their own charges. They are to go on. They are to go out and expect that all their needs will be supplied. Will the Lord cast them off? No, he will not cast off his people. He will not. That's his undertaking. And it's all within the covenant. We read of a covenant with Noah after the flood, that the covenant with the Lord's people, it's made with them as represented by the great covenant head, Christ Jesus. And they will be saved. They cannot ever be anything but save. Whatever experiences they might have. But you see, yes, they may be careless, but they will not be allowed to fall away altogether. They might experience need. As many a one has experienced literal hunger, but they are always provided for sooner or later. And whatever needs any of the children of God here may be conscious of, you see, let them remember the covenant. It's not how well they keep the covenant, though that has its own importance, but it's how well the covenant head has kept the covenant. It's how well he acted when he took their place, when he kept the law for, when he suffered for them even unto death. That's the point. And whatever circumstances they may be in, there comes a time when the Lord said, when the Lord will remember his Noahs. Whatever that actual name is, the Lord will remember it. However difficult their circumstances may be, whatever they feel they haven't got that they could do, whatever spiritual needs seem to be unsatisfied, there comes a time, and this will be said, the Lord remembered Noah. You have much of the Lord's kindness indicated in Psalm 107, and I'm not going to go through all the various pictures that are set before us there, but at the beginning of the psalm, which we sang on the last occasion, where it speaks of the redeemed of the Lord being gathered out of the land, there's no doubt a picture here of Israel being gathered out of Egypt, or in relation to the Jews being gathered out of the lands to which they were exiled, Assyria and Babylon. But he gathered them out of the lands, and that is what the Lord is doing with sinners, when he remembers them, as it were, for the first time. Now we are told that they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. What then? Well, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. They said something like this, Lord, remember me in my need. Whether it's hunger or thirst or fainting, or the solitariness of the way, as if they had no city to dwell in. Ah, but there's first of all this, there's a throne of grace where the covenant head reigns, and they are to go boldly to the throne of grace, and let them go boldly with these words in their mouth and in their hearts. Remember me with that lamb that thou bearest not to thy own. Remember me. Now, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. He remembered. Now, it's in particular in connection with their cry that the Lord remembers. Not that he needs to be reminded, but that is good for them. It's good for them to feel their need. It's good for them to bring their needs before the Lord in prayer. Yes, and at his own good time, which will be good for them. You see, the Lord Jesus didn't go to Bethany immediately. The message came from Mary and Martha about the illness of their brother. That wasn't the best time to go. The best time was when he actually went. The best time was after Lazarus had died. The best time was to meet Mary and Martha in their time of deeper sorrow. But he heard the message. He didn't despise. He didn't, as many a message has been done, crumpled up and thrown away, thrown in the bin. That's most certainly not how the Lord treats the cry of those who send up their petitions to. And if that is happened, the Lord will remember the individual who has prayed. The Lord remembers them. That you see, he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. And that is certainly true as far as the children of God are concerned. He leads in a way that is right, according to his wisdom, not according to our wisdom, which may well be foolish, but his wisdom, and his wisdom is good, his wisdom is perfect. Oh, what a great matter it is to be casting ourselves into the care of the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, David was said. He knows how to lead. And that is the sort of thing that we should be saying to. Now, for following each of these sections in the psalm, there's this. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works unto the children of men. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Not just prayer, not just God remembering the one who's praying. And let there be a response of thankfulness, a response of praise when the answer is given. And oh, it's good to be finding reasons of thankfulness. And just thinking of a story I can't remember properly, but I think there was this in it, something like this in it. Someone that was in some situation and something happened, something in which the person didn't feel comfortable or wouldn't feel comfortable. And I think it was somebody else that was saying, what will you find to thank God in this? Well, there was something in the way it turned out. Now I'm just giving the barest of outlines of what I mean. But the point I hope is clear. There was always something, and there should be always something to thank God for, whatever our circumstances. Whatever difficulties we experience, if we think properly in a godly way about these things. Now, let us go on to this. That this can be applied to the Church of God, and I'm not going to expand on this to any great extent, but you see, whatever circumstances the church may fall into, there comes a time when the Lord remembers his church. And if I can just illustrate that briefly in connection with the Reformation, the church situation in Europe was dire. Romanism had gone to sea, coming up with new ideas that were far from biblical again and again. False doctrines, false practices. And souls were being deceived, but the Lord remembered his church. He gave us Holy Spirit. He provided instruments. He provided Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Knox, and any number of others that I mentioned familiar names. Now you see, what you had there was the Lord remembered his church. And however low the church may come in our time, and is coming very low, and then some ministers have almost no religion, if you see, in what they are saying. And I'm thinking just now about a particular article that appeared in last last Saturday's Heralder, at least about that time, from a minister in Mildura. And there's hardly anything by his own account of himself in his own village. Now, you see, the church is weak, whatever way you look at it, or whatever part you look at it. The church is weak. And those who have any interest in the cause of Christ should have this cry. Remember thy church with that love that thou hast shown to it in the past, or whatever form of words you feel might be appropriate. Remember thy church, and whatever weakness the church may experience, you see, there will be this. The Lord remember his church. Now you could say that at that stage in the earth's history, during the fall, the whole church, the whole professing church was within the ark. All eight of them. All eight of them. That's the professing church. And in whatever we might say about everyone else, it doesn't look like it, that Ham, because of his sin, he was a true believer. But he was part of the professing church at the time. But that's not the main point just now. It's just this, how small it was. And when the Lord remembered Noah, he remembered all of them. God's dealings were with Noah in particular. He was, as it were, a priest in his own family. That's how it was until the order of priesthood was set up when the Israelites were in the wilderness. But you see, the Lord remembered his church then and brought them out of the ark into an earth that was again fit for them to live in. And you see the observance of religious ordinances when there was an altar raised and sacrifice offered. But you see, we're in our own age and things are dire. Things seem to be getting weaker and weaker. But what are we to say? Remember thy church, O Lord. Build it up. Pour out thy Holy Spirit. Provide all the means that are necessary for spreading the gospel. Yes. But in particular, give the Holy Spirit to apply the truth. And we are to believe that a time will come, sooner or later, and it will be said, the Lord has remembered his church. The Lord has remembered his people. Now, isn't that a great matter? It will be for the good of many a soul that the Lord will remember his church. And when the Lord remembers his church, it will be a remembering of many individuals, whatever attachment they have to the church at that time, or whatever lack of it. But the Lord is able to work. The Lord is able to bring multitudes to himself. Yes, and whatever your state of soul, whatever you realize concerning your state of soul, see that you will be asked, for Christ's sake, remember me, O Lord, with that love that thou bearest none to thy know. O visit me with thy salvation. May the Lord bless his word.